Well, we are continuing our summer series of unseries messages, and today I'm talking about temptation. And the title of the message is clickbait. Does anybody know what clickbait is? It's a pretty recent term used online for any kind of enticement that will hook people and get them to click on a link, which will take them to some kind of a story or an advertisement or a product or a fake news article or political propaganda, whatever it is they want you to pay attention to. Here's a definition. Clickbait is something, such as a headline, can be an image, designed to make readers want to click on a hyperlink, especially when the link leads to content of dubious value or interest. So sometimes the headline is just to get you to look at an uplifting story like this link here. A neighbor calls police to shut down this illegal slip and slide, but things don't go as planned. Most obviously, get these good things going. Sometimes, though, it's an enticement to get sucked into some kind of scam, like this one that I saw on another pastor's Facebook page yesterday, where it says that Delta is going to give away two free tickets to everyone to celebrate their 88th anniversary. When you click on it, though, as I did yesterday, for an example for this message, not because I'm looking for free tickets to Tahiti or something, but you get this warning through your virus software that this is a deceptive website. And if you don't have virus software, it'll take you to a page where it'll ask you for your information, your name, address, phone number, email link, and then they sell that information to others. So it's a scam. And clickbait uses some kind of appeal like this to build curiosity, to entice people to click on the link. And, you know, seemingly mundane topics can attract attention if you just add a little clickbait title to it. So, you know, he ordered French fries. You'll never guess what happened next is the clickbait, you know, to get people to check on it. Or like this one about a cow turned out to pasture. She was born for one reason, and she knows it. Cow is so terrified of going to slaughter, she starts to cry. And then they leave the now what. So you just, now what's going to happen? To Emma, the cow's journey has been a long and tumultuous one. But finally, the animal can be at peace. Don't you just want to click on this and find out what happens to the cow? I mean, yeah. Well, the term clickbait was added to the dictionary in 2016, but the tactic of enticement has been around much longer than that. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? A crafty serpent twisting the truth to get Eve and then Adam to disobey God's commandment. And if that story were a Facebook link today, it would probably read something like this. She wanted a piece of fruit. You wouldn't believe what happens next. You know, Eve was faced with this decision. Would she believe the serpent's lie about God and get sucked in by this story and taste the forbidden fruit, or would she resist and trust God's command not to eat the fruit from that tree? And we all know how it turned out, and the enemy has been using the strategy of enticement and temptation ever since. And it's important to recognize that everyone faces temptation, and temptation is not a sin. And I'm using this clickbait as a metaphor, okay? It's not a sin to click and find what happened to that cow. It's a metaphor that I'm using today, that temptation is like clickbait on your Facebook page. It's like spam in your email box. It's like junk mail in the mailbox out front in your yard. You didn't ask for it. It's just there. But you have to decide what you're going to do with that when the temptations that we face on a daily basis. And we all face temptation. Even Jesus was tempted. And since clickbait plays on our curiosity, our need to know, to counter that today, I want to give you three things that Jesus knew that we need to know to resist temptation. So they're there in your message notes. They're found in Luke chapter 4. We'll be looking at that. So three need to knows to resist temptation. First, you need to know yourself and your weaknesses. All right, what are your weak spots? If I were to provide a place for you to write an area that you struggle most with temptation in your message notes, which I didn't do because I knew no one would write it down when they're sitting next to somebody who might see it, right? So, but if there was a space there and you were to write down what you struggle with, it may be spending more than you have. You just have a lust for things. Might be anger or control issues that damage your relationship. It might be addiction to substances or to pornography. Could be gossip. Could be lying. Maybe it's playing video games on your phone at work when you're supposed to be working, so you're essentially stealing from your employer. You know what it is, right, for you. And we all have some area that we're susceptible to slipping up. If we know what those things are, then we're much more able to resist and keep away, or just keep away from them altogether. So in 1 Peter 5:8, we're told this: stay alert. Watch out for our great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. We have an enemy who doesn't want good for us. And if you've been attending Baseline very long, you know that I don't focus on the devil a lot. I don't want him to steal attention away from Jesus. But if we totally ignore his existence, then we're more likely to get tripped up. And if you're going to bring about change in your life, you need to be aware that he doesn't want you to succeed in that. So let's look at Jesus' story from Luke 4. Just prior to this story, Jesus has just been baptized by John in the Jordan River. And then immediately afterwards, we read in Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So in obedience to Jesus' leading, to the Holy Spirit's leading, Jesus went out to the wilderness to fast. He was in the center of God's will, but at the end of 40 days, he was hungry. Now, I think that's an understatement. I'm not a drama queen, but I would insist on something like along the line of famished or starved, you know, but it says Jesus was hungry. And he had a physical area of weakness, and the enemy saw that as an opportunity. And so the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone. Satan was tempting Jesus in an area that he was vulnerable at that moment. He was hungry, and stones turned into bread might be a quick fix for that. But Jesus knew who he was, he knew why he had come, and he didn't have to prove anything to Satan about who he was. And so he reminded himself and Satan, bread isn't all there is to life. And when you're tempted, you don't need to feel guilty about that. But you do need to be aware that you have an enemy who will take advantage of our desires, of our weaknesses. And so it's important to know what those things are. And that's why the second thing also is that Jesus knew is so important in his response and for us as well. And that is that you need to know God and know God's word. Know who you are as a child of God and know God's word. Well, when Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus always answered that temptation with scripture, if you look at that. We're going to look at the next section in Luke 4. The devil led him up to a high place, so he said no to the bread thing. And he showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me. I can give it to anyone. that I want to. If you'll worship me, it will be all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so the devil didn't trip him up with that one, so he leads him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So he tries to use God's word, but Jesus answers, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him for a more opportune time. So when Satan tried to get Jesus to turn stones into bread, what did Jesus say? Right. He said, it's written, man cannot live by bread alone. When he promised him all the kingdoms of the world, if he would worship him, Jesus responded, it is written, right, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then when he asked, tried to get him to throw himself off of the temple, Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to a test. One of the most important things that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is to read his word, to study his word, to memorize his word. Then it's available to you when you encounter these kinds of temptations and have to make decisions between right and wrong. David, who was the apple of God's eye, right? He said in Psalm 119, and this is our memory verse this week, so let's read it together. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. God will help you overcome. And one of the ways that he does that is he speaks to us and guides us through his word. And the better you know his word, the more able you are to resist temptation. Then the third need to know, you need to know why you're saying no. Know the why behind your no. And Jesus was able to resist temptation because he was God and because he knew the why behind his no. He knew that he had come down to earth to glorify God and to fulfill God's purposes. So as you think about that temptation or that area that you often struggle with that you didn't write down at the top of your message notes, what's the why behind why you would say no to that? Ask yourself questions like, who will benefit from my resistance to this temptation? How will my life or the lives of others be better if I say no to this? How will saying no to this temptation deepen my understanding of who I am as a child of God, or make me more like Jesus Christ? We're going to watch a video, it's 4 minutes long, of comedian Michael Jr. as he explains why the why is what makes the difference. All right, let's go ahead and watch it.
How do I know? A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the 6th episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country, and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
Probably don't need to say anything more. The what that we're talking about today is resisting temptation. The why is because you're a child of God and that he has a purpose for your life. He does. And the why behind resisting temptation isn't guilt management or following a bunch of rules. It's being all that Jesus saved you to be and doing all that Jesus saved you to do with your life. So let me give you quickly three reasons that as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to resist temptation. And the first is that sin always hurts someone. Love builds up, sin tears down. And when we make loving God and others well our goal, it helps us to choose and to do the things that build others up and does no harm. So when we go against God's ways, we grieve God's spirit, and it hurts ourselves and others. So when you think about those things that you struggle with, who gets hurt when you give in to that? Then the second reason is that God promises to help us resist temptation. There's no excuse to give in to it. And everyone, like I said, faces temptation, but God promises to help us resist it. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. So if you think I'm the only one that's ever had this thought, that's like thinking you're the only kid that's ever stuck a pencil eraser up your nose or whatever, you know. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You don't have to choose badly. God gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can choose the good. And the power to choose the good comes from Jesus Christ in us. Look at Hebrews 2:18. It says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So when you choose, what you choose to do after you're tempted comes comes shapes your character, sorry, and God promises that he'll give you what you need and he'll help you through it. And then the last reason is you'll glorify God and become more like Jesus Christ. That's your why. You want to glorify God and become like Jesus. And temptation always presents us with a choice that tests whether we love God more than the temptation. And that's what's happening when you're tempted. And it's always a test of what you love most in life. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity this quote, "People often think of Christian morality as a kind of a bargain in which God says, you keep a lot of rules and I'll reward you, and if you don't, I'll do the other. I don't think that that's the best way of looking at it. I would much rather say that every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. You become more and more a creature fit for heaven or a hellish kind of person. Every time we make a choice, you are shaping and molding the central part of you, your heart and soul, into a creature made fit through Jesus Christ for heaven." Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for all your promises in Scripture, that you help us to resist temptation, that you always give us a way out. And that's so important because in our hearts, we want to be like Jesus. In our hearts, we don't want to hurt others or hurt ourselves or grieve your spirit. So I just pray that you'll help us to be more aware this week of the ways that we do harm, and help us to do good, all the good that we can. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, on the back of your connection card, there's a couple of ways to